This is Steve Sherlock with another in a series of podcasts for Franklin Matters. This is number 12 in the series, and by way of catching up, I'll do some shorter podcasts for the next couple to provide the detailed discussion for you in their entirety. There's little that I can add to the discussion itself, so you might as well listen to it all in its entirety and then take from it what you will. This first one is from the town council meeting on Wednesday, September 3rd, where they discussed the proposed street opening bylaw that covers digging into a street in less than 5 years after the street has been completely redone from the infrastructure ground up. The council completes the discussion and leaves the bylaw unchanged. Now, this will leave some residents in a situation where they're not happy with it, but it will leave the town overall with a better road infrastructure. Choices, choices.
The first presentation is on the street opening bylaw and in regards to gas conversions, Jeff.
At the request of Councilor Whalen, this is on the agenda discussion as to whether the current bylaw that restricts street openings of streets that have been fully reconstructed within the last 5 years should be considered for changing in order to accommodate folks that might want to hook up to natural gas. The bylaw has been in effect for many years. We think it has a rationale. Brutus can answer any specific questions. But if you were going to do anything other than what you want to do, you'd have to go through the process of changing the bylaw since the one that currently exists is really for unforeseen or emergencies. Those do happen. The gas company has leaks. That's probably the biggest one that we face all the time. Other than that, very rare exceptions to cutting through the street. We'd love to have it for 10 or 15 years, but it's not practical. So, if you have any questions of the DPW director?
Thank you. I actually did have a question. Section 155-1.2, which talks about the 5-year limit on when you can't cut into the road, there's actually a clause in there that says that this prohibition may be waived by the DPW director for good cause.
Correct.
And I'm wondering if, you know, we could accomplish sort of what's brought this up here by basically, you know, agreeing that, you know, some in this current environment, some of these circumstances, that might be a good cause, and, you know, we need to change the bylaw, or is this something that the DPW director could actually accomplish? I mean, I don't want to get you at crossroads with the administrator and the council, but
I think if you thought this was a good cause, then everything.
Oh, I wouldn't agree with that.
Well, I think once you open the street I want to put a sewer line in. I want to put whatever I want to do. Begins the slippery slope of compromising the integrity of the street.
But if we're going to consider changing the bylaw, isn't that what we would do anyway?
And the idea
is that that's what the council wanted to do. Do we actually have to change the bylaw to do that?
Yes, because I think that the bylaw was intended specifically to allow the DPW director, discretion in issues that in most cases we have no control over. The gas company has the right to dig up the street if it's leaking. But I think the overall intent is to keep the integrity of the street for as long a period of time as possible. So,
and I agree with that objective. Right. And I think it should be a rare exception, but this doesn't come forward.
Right.
And my only question was, if that's something that we want to do, would we have to actually change the bylaw? Sounds like you think we do, even though the DPW director does have some discretion.
That's what I'm told by town council.
Okay.
Steve, I would disagree with you, Jeff, that if it's permissible in this case, then it's permissible for anything. Because I think we're in uncharted waters, unprecedented times, what have you, in terms of the increase in energy prices overall, but even more so the increase in home heating oil. I just heard a report today that the spot rate for home heating oil is currently 50% higher than it was at the beginning of September last year. And while natural gas prices are up, it's not nearly the same level of increase. So my thinking was, I wanted to understand a little bit better, and from Brutus, how much of a compromise of the structural integrity of the road is it? Because I think this is Anything we could do as a town council to help people manage what's going to be a very difficult, financially challenging winter, unless there's really good reason, I would want to do it. And my understanding, first of all, Bruce, is that if any citizen wanted to switch over to gas and it involved cutting into the street, the citizen's completely responsible for paying for having the street restored. Is that true?
I'm not sure how they work it out with the gas company. Sometimes the gas company will pick up the charge.
But it's not the town's responsibility?
No, it's not the town's responsibility to repair the road.
And then the last thing I'd want is to just sort of pass this over and say no, and then hear from other citizens that they've gotten permission to have the town, to have a road that's less than 5 years disturbed for other reasons. And is it only gas leaks, or are you aware of any time you've given permission for it for something else?
I like to say that this bylaw is typical of most communities. The four communities I've worked with before, they all have the same thing. You basically can't cut into a street for 5 years. In this town, the only ones that I have authorized, the town engineer usually goes through, gives out the permits, has been for a gas leak.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
You're not really giving them permission. It's a formality. They have the legal right to cut into the street in those circumstances. Am I correct?
Because under here, because it's an emergency.
Right. It had nothing to do with our bylaw. They can cut into the street. Getting a permit from you is a formality. It's not your discretion. You have to get them a permit.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Or I can deny the permit.
But you're going to cut into the street anyway, because gas.
Well, they're not. It blows up.
We wouldn't want to be able to
use it.
But there have been other examples. There was a case in Millis where same thing, the road, a septic system failed, and they couldn't perk it out, so they allowed it to cut into the street to tie into the sewer system because the house was going to become uninhabitable. It's a two-family, and that's what I would love. In this town, I don't believe it's happened yet.
So you've never permitted somebody, you've never used your discretion to waive this prohibition against...
I would say just completely opposite of that. The DPW is taking a strong stance. This is not the first one. We get them all the time, particularly in Pond Street. They've come up on King Street over here. And recently, we just had the first cut into Pond Street last year. But that was not an emergency. But we've taken a hard line about not cutting into the road.
And I just noticed in the last couple of days that actually on my street, Charles River Drive, they're cutting across the street to, it was like 6 or 7 or 8. What was the reason for that?
Fios.
Fios.
That's cable TV.
Cable company,
okay.
Verizon.
But if I'm glad I asked. So if the street was paved within 5 years, less than 5 years, they would not have been able to do that?
Correct.
Okay.
And it would be also would consider reconstructed because we went through this. We consider a total road reconstruction is different than we might do a maintenance practice. Might be the chip sealing, which everybody in town is fond of, or like overlaying. Okay, we don't necessarily... The whole process we go through to reconstruct the road is we're not just putting a layer of asphalt on top. We're going down sometimes a foot based on the subsurface, and we're compacting that to certain thresholds, and we're putting layers on top of that. The two things that we do when you put a cut in there, A, obviously everybody sees from the top, is that you allow water and moisture to get into there. So that can cause the joint to expand and create potholes. The other problem we have is compaction. You'll never be able to uniformly compact that trench as well as when the road's done completely. And if anybody's ever driven over a trench, we get the calls all the time. Even the seam is not broken on the top, but it's da-dum-da-dum because it's sinking, because that's the compaction. It's the vehicles pounding on it or, you know, Mother Nature. Those are two reasons why we don't want to cut into a road. I mean, because like Jeff said, I'd like to keep it for 10 years, but that's almost unrealistic. And I look at it as trying to protect the infrastructure for everybody in the town. That's because everybody's tax dollar paid to have Maple Street done, Pond Street, and we're trying to get the full life expectancy on it. I appreciate the fact it might help out one resident, but we still have to look at the long-range thing. And I'm afraid, like Jeff said, it's just going to open up a can of worms because we turned out, you know, it's my job. I'm done. I'm just going, no, can't do this, can't do that, can't do sewer, can't do that. It's tough. So,
right, and what, and I appreciate all of that. What I'm struggling with is, on the one hand, they're tearing the heck out of Charles River Drive so people have faster internet connections, versus a citizen who wants to potentially save hundreds of thousands of dollars a year on their on heating their home. And that's sort of just that's the thing that I'm sort of struggling with. And it just so happens that in the one case the road is a little bit newer than in the other case.
I hate the fact that they're digging up Charles River Road and some other, but you know, we hate, that is allowed. It is permitted as utility. It's very difficult for us to regulate that. We have the permit process in place. We charge them for what they do. We have inspectors go out there. They're required to come back and, you know, do a permanent patch. But that road will never be as good as it was, even though we do our best that we can.
First of all, let me say that this bylaw was drafted by me so 15 years ago, along with town council and the DPW head at that time. In my opinion, the bylaw is not strong enough. It should be amended to make it stronger. This wording about maybe waived by the DPW, that was put in, I don't know who put that in, but it wasn't that in the original bylaw. Now, we represent 32,000 people. They have a big investment in their streets and roads, and it's our job to protect those streets and roads. And as far as I'm concerned, listen, we can't prevent them from opening the streets. I'm aware of that. But what we should do is amend that bylaw. Like, take, for example, all the digging they did on M Street, Dean Ave, Main Street, where they put that narrow trench, I think the, was it for cable or something like that?
That was gas.
Any street you drive over, whether it's been opened by the town, notice how bad the streets are. It's all because of the street openings. What we should do is anybody that opens a street wider than the trench, they should be forced to pave the street from curb to curb. Anything that's over 50 feet or something like that. They tell me it's not legal. Challenge it. Let the Attorney General look at it. You know, but we have to protect the roads. And as far as these openings, the one that I think Steve is referring to on Maple Street, he can hook up to that gas line. It's right on the edge of the street. I was there when they put that in some 25 or 30 years ago. And he got to do is dig up his yard, hook up from the side, he's got gas line. Why does he have to put the street up? No, there's no need of it. And I plan to make probably amend this bylaw in the future to make them pave these streets from curb to curb if they open any trench more than 50 feet, which I think it should be.
I'm not familiar with that. I know that the gas line is on the side of the road up there. I can tell you that house and a couple of others that were, you know, recently constructed along there. The majority of the houses did tie up the gas. Now, that's when the developer was built, and they were notified. And whoever built that house, I don't know who did it, he decided to hook his house up to gas. That one they decided not to. They were all notified that it was an opportunity for him to do it. This was the time to do it. I feel bad. A gentleman moved in after a time when he purchased the house. He didn't know that. But you know, we can only do so much. We can't anticipate the future. And
it's not enough to protect our streets for people who invest all that money in their streets. That's what we're here for.
If you could tell us a little bit about how a road degrades without a street opening, and then what happens when there is a street opening. Just kind of give us an idea of what the difference is. I know I've driven on Beach Street and I've seen it, but...
A lot of it has to do with the sub-basis, so it has to do with the construction. No two roads are created equal. I mean, unless you look at like a pond and you recently constructed to state standards. Mm-hmm. But like if you look at Maple Street, everybody knows Maple Street was junk. For years, it was like, I would say, one of the worst roads in town. And there was a lot of issues up there because typically drainage and bad soils up there. A lot of people at the end of town, they got like a clay type soil. So that tends to hold moisture, allows the asphalt to move. And what happens is, once you put down, it starts to degrade. And the first thing it's hitting on is the sun. The sun's going to bake and oxidize it. You know, when you put new asphalt down, it's really dark. And as time goes by, it turns more and more gray. As it turns more and more gray, it's oxidizing. It becomes brittle and dries out. Okay, so when you get some of that expansion, that's when you start getting the cracks. That's normally what you're going to see in a road after, say, depending on, so I would say between 4 to 8 years, you'll start seeing cracks on the top of the road. And that's when we typically do a crack sealing, because we're trying to keep the water and the moisture from getting in from the top, those cracks. Then as time goes by, what we do is usually try to totally seal the road. We use a chip sealing, another expensive way. I know it's not very popular, but we seal the whole road again once the asphalt to, you know, the mulching and put stone on top of it, because also the road is becoming, friction's wearing down, it's becoming smoother, and it's a safety thing, so we want to put a grit back on the road. So that's what we go there. then eventually, as time goes by, if it's an auction, now we're looking, say, the 15 or to 20 year, we might start looking at an overlay. And that's basically just putting an overlay on top of the road. And that's going to try to seal a hole together some more. You know, now we've got roads that, and that's like the ideal type thing, but we got a lot of roads in town that are a lot worse than that, a lot older than that. Typically, like Southgate, we just did daily there on a 50 year. So what we went through is, they actually never received an overlay. They just got so bad. And even Maple Street had sections of overlay. And what we do is then we come in, we call reconstruct. That's where we grind the road up. And we actually incorporate the existing road into the base, and we crown it, we create the drainage, we improve the drainage, and then we go ahead and put two top coats of asphalt on top of it. Anytime there's a cut in the road, as I stated before, that allows moisture to get between those seams and get in the road. And we all know frost, and that expands as the potholes. If you typically drive in the springtime around here, you know that's the potholes all the time. If you look, typically they're in a trench. They're in a cut in the road where something's happened. It's allowing that to pop up. Or it could be in a bad drainage area, like around where a lot of water sits and it comes up. And the other thing is, as I said, the compaction. Is you'll just never be able to compact that trench. I mean, whatever utility you want to put down there, you'll never be able to compact it to the same level. One of the options we try to do, it doesn't necessarily work on the gas companies. We use a product called, it's concrete. I just lost it.
Flowable
fill. And when that's put in, it's like concrete, but it's not, but it doesn't compact or expand, so it stays the same at that rate level, so it'll always be flush. The problem is you can't put that around the piping that the gas company uses because it causes corrosion on it. So if we have a different issue, or maybe it's a water service or something like that that's the road maybe 5 or 6 years old, you know, I will do my best to require they put flowable fill in it, particularly if it's a heavily traveled road like Summer Street or King Street or something.
How much did Maple Street cost us?
Just for the overlay or for the... We did the water line. It's all part of the water line improvement program. Off the top of my head, I would say around $350,000.
Just for the top. Okay.
Just for the top. That's not the water. Water line was another $500,000.
Okay. And just one, like, further point that I think we're thinking of, if we cut into the road and obviously deteriorates much faster than if we didn't cut into the road, the wear and tear and the road being deteriorated. I think another thing that we have to keep in mind is the people that live through the construction, because as one that's lived through the construction on Pond Street, if I can never do that again, it would be great, because it was really awful. And so anything we can do to make the length of the lifespan of these roads be as long as they can, I think for the residents that live on those, although, you know, the energy problem I can see for everybody else, it's really a hard cross to bear. Thank you.
We just did an overlay for a certain portion on Summer Street, correct?
Correct.
And we did that because the road was very difficult to drive because of all the cuts that we put in when we connected the sewer to those different houses.
Correct.
Because even though we did it, didn't come out smooth every time it was cut in, and it was just a roller coaster ride coming from by 495 all the way down.
Correct.
And how much did that overlay cost us for that one portion?
It was $47,000. And please bear in mind, too, since the 3 years I've been in Franklin, our price for asphalt has gone from $39, we just did King Street for $72. So it's almost like exponential growth.
I can understand the concern of people wanting to heat their homes for less money, et cetera, but as Councilor Valley said, there are 32,000 people we have to represent. If we dig up a road and reconstruct it, I don't think we should have to put you to open it up again unless it's an emergency. Thank you.
Tom? No, that's where I was going is I didn't want to change this bylaw. That's where we need to make an exception to do that. But I was just looking at examples of Daniel Street, Beach Street. Beach Street's one of these where a lot of people cut in with these lateral cuts in there. And that turned the road into a disaster right there. So, I do think we should protect the integrity. And any kind of exception really needs to be an absolute exception.
Okay. Curtis, in the last 6 to 12 months, how many individual citizens have made this type of request? If you had, and I'll hold it to the number, but approximately, if you have any idea.
I would probably say a couple dozen. The majority of them go through town engineer, Billy Artisinia. He has first approval on because he's going to ensure that the application meets our criteria. If the, you know, we also have anybody that works on our roads has the proper licenses. He does all the calculations for bonding and like that. But he's usually one of the first people to deny it if it's less than 5 years.
Second question is, so Verizon, with the installation of the Fios, if they request to cut into a road that's less than 5 years, we have the legal authority to say no?
Correct.
Even though they're a utility?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
When it comes to Summer Street, well, why did we pick up the cost of $40,000? I thought it was supposed to be paid by the...
It is.
So what did it cost the town?
Cost the town nothing.
The council right asked what the cost was. That is the betterment cost.
Right.
That's going.
Steve? I'm sorry. Anything else, Jeff? Thank you.
This podcast has been a public service provided to my fellow Franklin citizens and voters by Steve Sherlock. For additional information, visit franklinmatters.blogspot.com. There will be some text that accompanies this podcast. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. That's sure, SHERSTEVE, all together, @gmail.com. And of course, the musical intro and closing is from the PodSafe Music Network, John Schmidt, with powerful, exhilarating piano music. I hope you enjoy.